WoW Killer is a production of amove.tv. Check out amove.tv for many more podcasts, multiple about Blizzard games. And for more of Taliesin's WoW coverage, check out Taliesin and Evitel on YouTube and twitch.tv. Greetings, welcome back everyone. We are here to soothe your anxieties as you try to get through that layer 8 twisting corridors. This is WoW Killer. I'm Garrett.
Straight into the topic. No mucking around, no foreplay, both feet, both barrels, straight into the topic. This is amazing. We're going to finish this podcast in like 20 minutes today. It's going to be brilliant. Yeah, twisting corridors is hard, isn't it?
It's
masochistic, one might even say.
Very painful
grind.
Possibly.
Brilliant. See you next week.
All right, cool. That was Taliesin, by the way, everyone. I hadn't even gotten to introducing him yet.
You can find me at YouTube, Taliesin Evitel, Twitter. Okay, great. Fantastic. See you, bye.
You can
best
find
episode ever that was. Anyway, I'm off to have my lunch.
You can find me running out to Dunkin' Donuts with a mask on after the show, because I get up so early for it, I'm starving by the time it's over.
Are you going to rob Dunkin' Donuts? I don't think you should admit that on a podcast. You're like, times is hard. Times is hard. Podcasting is down the pan, mate, since the pandemic. No one drives to work. No one listens to podcasts anymore. So basically, I'm ripping off a Dunkin' Donuts. I've got my sawn off. I've got my mask. What mask are you wearing for your robbery?
The one that the CDC recommends, that kind. CDC recommended mask for all robberies.
I love
if I'm gonna rip someone off, the least I can do
off shotgun and be like, give me your money, I'm wearing this mask for my protection and yours.
Exactly. If I'm gonna rip someone off, the least I can do is not give them COVID. It's the least I can do. If you're gonna be a criminal, at least be courteous.
So Wowhead sent us a box of Wowhead goodies, which is amazing. You might be able to see the Wowhead plushie that we've got behind me on the camera here if you're watching the show live or watching the VOD later, and lots of little pin badges and stuff, but also Wowhead face masks, as in not for robbing stores like you need, but for just not passing on like diseases and things like that. And I was like really excited. I was like, a Wowhead face mask to put on my head. Wow. But it doesn't fit on my head. It's tiny. I've got such a big mouth. I don't know if these are like standard American sizes, these masks. But I mean, now I know why Americans keep wearing their masks like tucked under their nose. Is because it doesn't fit. All your mouths are tiny. Like your faces are tiny. Your face masks are too small. You need bigger face masks. I thought everything was bigger and better in America, but it turns out not. Your face masks are shit. I mean, everything else in that Wowhead box is brilliant, though. Thanks, Wowhead.
Sure. Sounds good. Why not? I have no issues with face masks. I don't even know how to spin this into something vaguely tangentially related to World of Warcraft, because I didn't get a Wowhead box of goodies. So,
shame.
Yeah,
got it. You're not as important as me though, so it makes sense. So tell me more about your Dunkin' Donuts robbery. How are you planning it? Have you got a side guy? Are you going in alone?
Yeah, it is my legitimate.
Beyond the Pines.
Is my legitimate.
Are you riding your
post,
motorbike?
Is my post WoW Killer. What's the word I'm looking for? Tradition.
We couldn't get a sponsorship for this episode, so
we try and
just gotta go and rip off a store.
We're failing today as we do most weeks, but we try and get this up and going by 8:30 a.m. Eastern time, which
you mean failing? We literally touched on the topic for this episode within the first line. I hadn't even said anything. I hadn't even said hello. You still haven't introduced me, by the way. It's a bit rude. But even before that, we started talking about the topic of the show. You just dive straight in like this was your show or something.
I tried to introduce you, but then you started asking if I was robbing Dunkin' Donuts, so.
Well, yeah. You jumped straight into the topic. I was still doing my nails, and then I was like, I've got a good 10 minutes before we start this show properly, and you were all like, here's the topic, let's roll, pro WoW stream, and I was like, oh no, what's going on? I had to close my WoW window, had to cancel my Torghast run. This is madness. I'm not used to it. I'm fine with it. You just got to warn me, man. You can't just talk about the actual topic straight off the bat. Look at all this time killing I've had to do just so I can get set up properly.
I'm so sorry to you and the fine listeners. I really am.
It's fine.
It's fine.
It just scared me, but I'm okay now. I'm
so,
back.
So next week, are you going to be limbered up? Are you going to be ready to Matrix dodge?
I just... I'll make sure I've had a poo before we start.
As opposed to 36 episodes before this, where we started the show with you on the can.
Yeah. Now, yeah. Look, a lot of people, you know, they make the quite valid criticism that just like in the Weekly Reset, sometimes I talk over you and sometimes I talk for like very long stretches of time. But they don't know that you've asked me to do that because it gives you time to go off and do other things like your taxes, ripping off Dunkin' Donuts, things like that. Same with Evertel. And like likewise, about once or twice an episode, I let you talk for a little bit. And that's when I go off and do my things like have a little poo.
Yeah, audio
but
only
this
listeners
show is
can't,
long, man, and most audio of what only we talk about cannot... makes me want to shit. So it's one of those things that has to be done.
You're killing me this morning. I can't keep up. I can't do it.
Am I killing you, Garrett, or am I killing WoW?
I mean, they're not mutually exclusive.
Back on topic.
They are not mutually exclusive at all. But yeah, you and I, you know, you and I have been playing World of Warcraft this week, which means we have, you know, maybe had a passing glance at Twisting Corridors, and it's you know, Talias, and I don't know about you because I know you're only a little bit tapped into this game called World of Warcraft. You know, you're a passing fan, but have you heard all of the conversation? Have you stumbled across the hot topic in the community, which is Twisting Corridors going live?
Garrett, I have heard people mentioning, whispering in the dark recesses of the internet about this Twisting Corridors. Yes, I've heard people mention it. Mm. They hate it. Everyone hates it, Garrett.
Apparently.
People are shitting blood.
If we were better at, if I was better at the show, I would start every episode with, and killing WoW this week, and then tee up the topic.
Oh, God, that's good. What number episode is this?
37.
Too late to introduce that now as part of our routine. Sorry. Yes.
Well,
we've already established our brand. That's really good, though, Garrett. We should have thought of that. Gutted.
Yeah. It'd be tough on weeks where we're not talking about something that's extremely a hot topic. We're just talking about something we want to talk about. But yeah. Like last week, what would we have been? Killing WoW this week.
Is the mailbag.
Theories about Nathanos. That's what's killing WoW this week.
Well, we should at least have a sign off where we're like, see you next week, except we won't because WoW's dead. We killed it. It's dead now.
Next week, we will actually kill WoW. We will do it. We will do it.
Well, if it's still about, because, yeah, Twisting Corridors, I've had so many people, because I dared say in our weekly show, in the Weekly Reset, in our YouTube show, I dared to mention I quite like Twisting Corridors. Now, I want a disclaimer. I have done it. And I've only done it up to layer 3, which is obviously very easy. You know, relatively easy. I know a lot of people have difficulty on the earlier layers as well. And that's fine. I'm not making a judgment on you just because you're shit at the game. But I've done 3 layers and it was very easy. I did it in a group. And I recommend always doing Torghast in a group if you can. I recommend doing everything in WoW in a group if you can, because it's so much more fun and interesting and efficient anyway. But I loved it. I thought it was great. And yes, I'm sure I'll get very frustrated with it later on harder difficulties when my progress, you know, I'm on it for like a couple of hours or whatever, and then a boss kicks my ass and that's it. I'm done. I have to start all over again. But at the moment, I'm really, really enjoying it. And the comments in our show were like, Tally, you're an idiot. You're a shill. You don't know what you're talking about. Me and all my friends have unsubbed from this game, and it's Torghast's fault. And it's like, wow, okay. Yeah, people hate Shadowlands. You know, I thought Shadowlands was a good expansion. I said as much. I said, you know, I think Shadowlands is better at this stage of the expansion than Legion was. And, oh, man, I got ripped apart. People hate Shadowlands.
Yeah,
hate
that's
me.
Ridiculous. That is preposterous. I think that's the worst thing you've ever said, except that I actually agree with you.
What about the fact that I don't know what I'm talking about and that I'm a shill? Or
well, I do
that
agree
like
that the fact that you don't know what you're talking about. But in this particular instance, I agree. I'm enjoying Shadowlands right now more than I was in Legion at this point.
Yeah. Well, for me, it's like there's just so much to do.
Yes.
I mean, at this stage in Legion, what were we doing? We were still grinding a bit of Suramar, probably.
Oh yeah.
At max level, yeah. Suramar reps, so that we could continue the story.
I was already very over Suramar. I was already very over world quests.
And you were doing your world quests and your emissaries purely for the pure and single reason of legendary fishing.
Yes.
And that's what we were doing in Legion at this point. If you hadn't already finished Suramar, you were grinding towards that. And if you weren't doing that, you were legendary fishing. And yes. It was brilliant. And I loved it because also we were doing Mythic Plus all the time because it was new and shiny. and still getting used to that and still enjoying it. So, I mean, I had a great time, but I think pound for pound, there's just so much more to do in Shadowlands than Legion at this stage, you know, and it's so much more deterministic. So I'm still trying to get my legendaries, but, you know, I'm earning the materials for them and making them that way. I, after today, will have finished the Covenant campaigns you know, I've got my three characters that are ready to do the last chapter of their Covenant campaigns. They've gone and they've done their souls quest in the Moor to get the one renown they needed to take them up to that opening, that last chapter, chapter 9 of their quest. So my Venthyr Covenant guy is standing next to the quest giver, ready to go. My Night Fae guy is standing next to the quest, ready to go. My Bastion guy is standing next to the quest, ready to go. My Necrolord guy's not quite there yet, but I'll bust a move and I'll get through it and I'll get it done. And I should have completed all of the Covenant campaigns within the next couple of days, and I'm really looking forward to it. And but then obviously there's still the raid, which is considerably harder than Emerald Nightmare was, so it should last a bit longer. And then there's always that stuff of, you know, I want to make my legendaries, I want to upgrade my covenants and things like that, and all just very chilled stuff. The Twisting Corridors is something which is going to be a project until the end of the patch, I would imagine, because we're definitely sitting in this patch until, you know, March, because that's how long it's going to take to get us to Renown level 40. And I think it will hold, honestly. I'm quite happy for the next patch to be, you know, late March, early April at the moment. Now, I reserve the right to change my mind on that. And one of the things that is kind of I'm looking forward to doing is the Twisting Corridor. I'm kind of like, so what do you feel? Have you been in there yet?
Oh, yeah. So if you remember last week, Talias, and we touched on it for a hot second, because I had a rather sad story, and that story got sadder after we left the show. So if you remember, I grabbed my Bolvar quest last week. And I just ran in blindly. I didn't even, like, read anything. I grabbed the quest and I was like, I got to go get a hint of where Anduin is. I did this for Jaina. I did this for Thrall. It's going to be an easy six-floor wing of Torghast. So I just blindly ran in and just powered through. I didn't even check every nook and cranny. I just mainlined from the beginning of each floor to the end of each floor. And I got to the end of floor six. And then I was like, wait, what do you mean there's a floor seven? Oh, no, I'm in the Twisted Corridors. and I got all the way up to the last boss. And because I hadn't gotten every anima power I possibly could have, I died to the last boss. And I told that story on last week's episode. After last week's episode, I went back in and got a call from a rather large client that I do contract work for about halfway through, and they needed a meeting right then and there. So I was like, all right, I'm gonna leave and take this meeting because I have to. I would be insane not to. Have to start all over again. Then I had a minor pet emergency. Everyone's fine. During my third attempt, had to leave at like floor eight. So it took me four attempts. Get through layer one. Yes, it took me four attempts because it takes upwards of 2 hours or more to do a single run of even the lowest layer. I am now up to also layer four. I've successfully completed layer three, and that's where I am now in it. And I kind of like it. In a weird way, because too, like you, I haven't gotten to a point where I have wasted a bunch of time in it for any reason other than my own fault. You know, doing it during work hours when I might have to take a meeting and that actually coming up, or not realizing I was in Twisted Corridors for my first run through. So, yeah, but I am finding it rather enjoyable. I like the obscene number of anima powers you end up with by the end of this. It reminds me of, like, my first time trying Torghast on Alpha, where they were just throwing anima powers at us, which was fun. But at the same time, I'm kind of looking at it and calling my burnout shot. I can see myself being very unhappy pushing the higher layers of this. I just know it's got all the trappings of something that will tilt me endlessly as I try to get that mount at layer 8.
So this is a great example of what I was talking about earlier. I don't know what you said because I just went away for a poo and now I'm back. But I'm assuming that you were whining about it being very long and hard. I was here. I didn't poo. Didn't leave the table to do it. Anyway,
it was one of those. It's one of those. It is something that's been going on with Shadowlands, and I don't think you're going to agree with me because you're not annoyed as I am by like the travel in Shadowlands, but that irks me. You're not annoyed as I am by the lack of the whistle. That irks me. So it just, I look at Shadowlands as this like, it's so close to perfect, and yet there's all these weird little things that just seem designed to be inconvenient.
Is the Twisting Corridor a good example of that, though? Is it weirdly designed to be inconvenient, or is
That's what made me want to talk about it on today's episode, because I do find it fascinating, and I'm trying to figure out like where. And it's obviously going to be different for everybody, but this is the point of this show. We come with our own personal opinions, and we talk about where lines are for you and for me. And like, where is the line where, because technically Twisting Corridors is not required. It is technically not required, but at the end of Twisting Corridors is a mount for the Maw. And so at what point is something that is quote unquote unrequired in World of Warcraft, at what point does it feel required? Even if it technically isn't, it, by all definitions, it is not required. This isn't an attunement to go to a raid that you have to do or anything of that nature. It's not required in the way being max level is required to experience the majority of the game. But here we are months post-launch and we're still hoofing it around the Maw. All of the druids are bragging right now. I can hear them. All of the druids listening are bragging.
And
the
worgen, those smug fucks.
And those smug worgen. They already had their top hats. Couldn't they be happy with their top hats? But to me, putting something like a mount for an endgame zone that you can't mount up in at the end of Twisting Corridors, that makes Twisting Corridors required. To me, that crosses the line. It's like, yeah, it's nice that you say it's not required, but is it really? Because to me, it is. It is required.
I mean, you know that it's not the only place you can get a Maw mount, though, right? You know that you can get a mount that goes in the Maw from the Maw as well. You don't have to get one from Twisting Corridors. You can get it from the hunt in the Beast Warrens. And I know that the hunt...
You can get it from that thing that's bugged in a launch product? Yeah, that buggy shithole of a zone that still hasn't been fixed? Yes. Yes, I am aware of that. I am aware that
lots
I can...
Lots of people have got it, though.
That's nice.
So
lots of
people
riding
that thing.
Lots of people have finished that hunt quest. I'm not one of them. I've been sitting on it for a month. So, because I literally can't finish it. So, cool. Good on you. I'm so glad that some people have gotten it.
Awesome. Well, yeah. You got to worry... Like, okay, so yeah. I mean, that's fair. That's fair. Let's say the Twisting Corridors is mandatory. I mean, it's doable. It's very completable. It is deterministic. You're getting something for doing a challenge and for, you know, it's... Okay, so it's not completely optional like something like the Mage Tower was, although I know a lot of people that would consider the Mage Tower and the appearances you get from that in a weird way kind of more mandatory than the Twisting Corridors. But, you know, let's say the mount makes it completely mandatory. Does that suddenly mean that the Twisting Corridors is bad?
I think it introduces, like, if we start to talk about gamification and, like, the science of fun, yeah, I think it does introduce a noteworthy pain point for a majority of players.
So what would you do? Would you have, like, a reward at the end of the 8th floor that was, you know, unique but wasn't something so useful, I guess?
I think this is where, like, we're one like entering subjective town, right? I think you ask me, we're probably going to have slightly different takes on how we would alleviate this. And my focus goes to the time commitment of running Twisting Corridors. I'm curious. I don't want to get off on this tangent, but I am curious about, like, at what points in World of Warcraft have you ever, like, thrown up your arms and been like, oh, how could you have missed this? Because I've never seen you get there, Tellius. And it's, I find that fascinating. I'm curious, has there ever been a point in World of Warcraft where you're like, oh, this seems so obviously poorly designed. Why would you ever design something this way? And that's where I got
every
with...
Every time I play WoW, what are you even talking about? Like...
But that was me with Twisting Quarters when I realized that I couldn't, like, there was no way of like leaving and then coming back at the floor that I left off on, because for it to be like, hey, do you have at least 2 hours, for that to be the ask for Twisting Quarters seems nuts to me. That seems completely insane that that's how they designed this. But I realized that that's me. Like, and not everyone necessarily shares this thought, but to me it seems bonkers that you can't like chip away at a run over the week the way you can a raid.
Yeah, I get that. No, I completely understand that. And you know, at the very least, maybe they could introduce save points on the broker floors and things like that, so you can kind of like just click a button which saves your progress, because they can still randomly generate the rest of the Torghast later when you go back in the next time, you know. And yeah, that definitely seems like good feedback and something that would improve it for a lot of players. In general, though, do you think there is just too much of it? Even if you could save your progress through it, is there too much Twisting Corridors?
That's where I'm going to defend it, because I think the sheer quantity of Torghast that is a single run of Twisting Corridors is part of where my positive reaction comes from, because you just end with so many anima powers that, like, yeah, you could get unlucky and I've, you know, I think actually my highest layer clear for layer three, like for me personally, I didn't get great powers, but I still managed to get through. And compare that, I think my layer two, I was an absolute god at the end. And that variance is interesting. And also, like, that chance of becoming supremely powerful with the powers that it gives you is really cool. And it wouldn't happen if it was, you know, if they took X amount of layers off, if it was only, or floors, if it was only 12 floors, you know. I mean, there's a balancing act to that. They could offer up even more anima powers on average if they wanted to lower the floor count. But the ascension to me is part of the draw. Like, because when I'm in it and I have the time and I'm not stressed out that something might pop up and I have to leave, I was really enjoying my time in Twisting Corridors. So like overall, I like it. But there's a lot of, I have a weird amount of anxiety when I walk through, if I haven't like really cleared my schedule.
I wonder if this is like a byproduct from the concept of the Twisting Corridors that they never quite kind of hit. This idea of it being a roguelike. Okay, have you ever? Do you play roguelikes in general?
I've played a few.
And have you ever played a roguelike where you are able to save your progress through a run?
Halfway
through a run.
Yeah.
Have you?
Well, I can hit pause. Because
every roguelike I've ever played, you know, once you start a run...
Yeah, Hades.
No. You can't. You can't start a run in Hades and then log out halfway through that run and come back to that run. It saves your overall progress and your point in the story, but you can't... You can log in the room? Oh, wow, okay. Well, I take it back then. Yeah. I take it back.
Yeah, you 100% can.
Well, there
can.
You go. As a roguelike, Twisting Corridors isn't as good as the best roguelike ever made.
it's a little dismissive. I see where you're going, but you turn out to be wrong. So I don't think a run has ever taken me 2 hours in Hades.
That's what I mean. Is that, you know, they've sat there and they've gone, well, in roguelikes, you can't save your progress throughout a run, generally. So you can't in the Twisting Corridors. But of course, the Twisting Corridors isn't really a roguelike. It is pretending to be a roguelike, but it's not really. And so, yeah, that kind of standard roguelike thing of not being able to save during a run. I know you can in Hades, but generally you can't in roguelikes. But that's because a run takes about 20 minutes max. And yeah, you're talking a 2-hour time commitment in this case, which is completely different.
I'm gonna be flippant now and say, so you're saying that Torghast is a worse roguelike that takes longer. that is a longer ask.
Yeah, I'm saying this whole idea of the game mode as a roguelike is a massive red herring, and one that, you know, I'm sure the designers have had in mind when they've been making it. And I think that's one of the things that has led to them having things like no save points during a run, you know, and the fact that your progress gets lost if you leave. And I think that probably comes from them trying to think about it as a roguelike rather than what it actually is, which is not a roguelike at all and completely different, and has its own charms above and beyond being a roguelike. Absolutely. You know, it's and people use Diablo Rifts as like a comparison as well, which I think is terrible as well, because Diablo Rifts are all about just like madness and destroying stuff as quickly as possible. Whereas for me, my favorite moments in Torghast, whether that be Twisting Corridors or not, have been the moments where I've had to take my time and be methodical. And actually, it's become much more like a raid in that respect. Because you've got Mythic Plus for mad time trial stuff, right?
Yeah, we've been through this before. And so that's why I'm kind of sick of comparing it to roguelikes, because it's like, yeah, whatever, that's fine. And if we want to have that conversation about what works in other roguelikes and what does, you know what does work in other roguelikes? Being able to walk away from a Hades run. So if we want to do that, I'm going to invoke that and say that's good design and it should be brought in here. But I've been thinking about it more just as World of Warcraft, because I've come a little more over to your side of that conversation, which is you embracing the methodical nature of Torghast. You see a pull that is going to hurt and it's going to suck, and you're going to need to have a think about how you're actually going to pull it off. I like that. Let's embrace that by actually letting us be able to chip away at a Twisting Corridors run.
I totally agree with that.
I think that would embellish what Torghast does right. I think it would enhance the Torghast experience. Because I don't know. I just like what it'd be nice to go in there and just like, I've got like 20 minutes before my buddy gets here to go run a mythic. I'm going to knock out a floor and then I'll leave, and or God forbid, I'll go do something in real life that I have to do because I'm 90 minutes in and life has moved on. And that's just kind of where my head is at there. So, but again, it's like, I'm enjoying it. And I think that's where a lot of my like thoughts about how I would improve it is coming from, is because there's a lot about this that I enjoy and I like, and I want to be a little more excited than I already am. I want to be like, yeah, I'm just going to go knock out a floor, and it's not going to be all this baggage hanging overhead.
Felino brings up a very good point in the chat, is that, you know, Hades is its own thing, and the roguelike elements of Hades are literally the entire game. So if you save your progress in a run of Hades and you come back later on, nothing has changed. You know, that no outside forces have enacted on that game. You're in the exact same point and your character is in the exact same point. Whereas if you are able to save a run of Torghast and the Twisting Corridors, say you get up to like floor 8 and you've got your anima powers and you log out and you save at the save point that they've provided because Garrett was crying about it and really wanted it. And then, you know, safe in the knowledge that you can come back later with all of your anima powers still there and your same progress and stuff like that. Next time you come back, you could be 10 item levels higher. You could have completely new gear. You could have completely new talents. And don't forget that one of the things that they do in Torghast is not let you swap out talents and gear. So logging out and you know, you can change your character in ways that is not intended before you come back. And I imagine that's probably part of their thinking about it as well. Honestly, the biggest part of the thinking about it is probably that, you know, making the actual save state of all different anima powers and what have you would probably be far too much of a ball ache.
I think that isn't, you know, a noteworthy point, but I think it's a hard sell. I don't buy that, especially right now. Like later on when gear is easier to come by, Okay, I get that to a certain point. But right now, gear is still an absolute trickle in this game. And so, like, if you want to save your layer 4 and come back in 2 weeks, because I think that's how long it's going to take you to do a 10-item level jump, cool. I'm all for it. I don't, like, you waited 2 weeks, or you had to wait a significant amount of time. It's not like you can, like, the same day come back with a noteworthy jump in gear.
Yeah, maybe. But I guess the bigger point is that, you know, you are it's not, you know, nothing in an MMO is a vacuum, you know, and nothing exists just inside itself. Like, everything is affected by your character's progress that happens outside of any game mode that you play. And that is where WoW really differs from any roguelike or anything like that. That you can't control that. You can't create that vacuum. So the idea of being able to save your progress at it and coming back, I can see why they edged away from it.
I would imagine, yeah, because this is where you get into the murky, the murkiness of, we don't know how difficult it is to, you know, design certain aspects of the game in certain ways, right? Like, maybe that crossed their mind and they're like, well, could we take a snack?
I'm certain, just before you say this, I'm certain that the reason you don't have save points in the Twisting Corridors is purely and simply because they can't. And the way that Torghast has been set up does not allow for that in the code. I'm certain that's what it is. So any reasons we may come up with why they should or shouldn't have is completely moot, really, because I think when it comes down to it, the bottom line is they just can't. And it would break everything. But sorry, carry on.
Yeah, well, that's where we can start to, I think, have a hypothetical bargain where I go, well, at the very least, could I log out and go to the bathroom? Like, could I literally ate dinner the other night and ran back in to move around so that it didn't kick me out. Like, that's where we're at on Twisting Corridors. And this is 100% one of those things that I feel like they're going to figure something out. They're going to find a way to alleviate a little bit of that time commitment anxiety down the road. And I'm going to look back on this as, remember that time where we had to like commit 3 hours to get through Twisting Corridors and I had to eat my dinner in between it. It's going to be a fun memory. I love having these types of memories when things are kind of nuts in World of Warcraft, but at the moment in it, I can't help but look at it and be like, can I just please like log out while I'm still in Twisting Corridors and then come back to it later? That would be wonderful.
Listen, I agree with literally every point you've made. I think it would be much more user-friendly and sensible to have save points throughout Torghast. It honestly wouldn't bother me if there were, and like would make my life much easier at that point as well. And you're right, it's absolutely stupid that there aren't save points throughout the Twisting Corridors, and that when you go in, you have to do 18 floors in a row, no logging out, no resting. If you're going to go and eat dinner, you have to come back and jump every now and then. You have to make sure you're somewhere safe when you do it. You're right. All of that is completely ridiculous. It's why I like it. I love how stupid it is. And this is me bringing us back to the title of this show, because I love how stupid it is. That, for me, is literally the appeal. Okay, so when I was younger, quite a bit younger, because I'm quite old now, I was doing a tour of a show around the West Country, and I went into a charity shop, and I bought two things in that charity shop. I bought a three-piece suit, a three-piece tweed suit, which fitted me perfectly.
And you were so British, it off the rack. It's disgusting.
Yeah, and I was like, how much is this suit, please? And it was in Chipping Sodbury, which is one of the most beautiful town names I've ever heard in my entire life. And you know, when they heard my voice, these people in this beautiful West Country town of Chipping Sodbury, you could see, they pretty much looked at each other and you could almost hear their thoughts. They were like, oh, city boy here. We'll take this boy for a ride. And I went, how much is this suit, please? And they literally went, oh, I don't know. How about £1? I was like, £1? Amazing. Brilliant. Thank you. What a bargain. £1 for this suit. Incredible. And I paid £1. And they thought they'd ripped me off. They thought they'd got an amazing deal on that. They were like, hey, do you remember when we sold that suit, that boy, for £1? Probably only worth about 50p, that. And when I put that suit on later on, there was a note in the inside pocket of the suit, which was like dated 1927. And it fitted me like a glove. Beautiful suit. I've still got the jacket now. Anyway, the other thing I bought from that charity store was a bowling ball. And the reason I bought the bowling ball, it was this. I'm talking weight when I say pound now. It was a 10-pound bowling ball. And it had this beautiful, like, tan and cream leather case, which is the real reason I bought it. It had a case and a bowling ball and, like, this beautiful 70s design. It had a name tag in it, which was handwritten and said Brad. And I was like, this is just too perfect. I went, how much is this bowling ball, please? And they went, oh, I don't know. £15? And I was like, yes, load me up. Let's do it. And I bought the bowling ball. And then I was in this situation where I owned a bowling ball. And I was like, well, I've bowled before at like birthday parties and stuff, but I've never like actually sat down and learned how to properly bowl. But now I own a bowling ball, and I'll be damned if I'm not using it every time I go bowling. And I'll be damned if when I turn up at a bowling alley with my own bowling ball, I'm not amazing at bowling. So what I did was that summer holidays, when all my friends are back from uni and stuff, I put together a team. And back in the day, in Mega Bowl Swansea, which is where I spent my summers, you could get unlimited bowling for $8.99. You could go in and you could say, I'll have unlimited bowling, $8.99, please. And you could bowl as much as you liked, as many games as you wanted, all day. It was like a bowl as much as you like. And the four of us would go in and we'd pay our $8.99 and we'd sit there and we'd turn up when it opened at 10. And we wouldn't leave until they kicked us out at 10 in the night. And, you know, obviously we'd buy food and drinks there and stuff. And we'd play around 30 to 40 games a day of bowling. This is a long time ago. It's about 2002, 2003, something like that. Maybe 2004.
Is this going to get tied into the conversation because the bowling alley had a strict, you're not allowed to go to the bathroom during those 40 games?
No, well, I went to the bathroom quite a lot. But what I'm saying is, what we did was we set ourselves a challenge to become incredibly good at bowling in the shortest space of time possible. So what we did was, as boys in our early 20s, very early 20s, we were like, the thing that is fun about this is how stupid it is. Like, it was stupid to spend our entire summer turning up at a bowling alley at 10 o'clock in the morning and staying there eating burgers and drinking beer until 10 o'clock at night, and we'd go home, and by day and you know, it was fun for about 3 days, and then on day four our arms really started to hurt, and like day four our performance started going down. You know, before that our performance was getting better and better and better because we were just practicing bowling, and day four it started to go down because it was like, oh, just pain, just physical pain. It stopped being fun at about day four. We carried on doing that shit for 4 weeks. And we would turn up in the morning and we would buy our bowling and there were tears in our eyes. We were miserable. It was the worst summer of our entire lives. You know, we didn't go out partying because we were too tired and because our arms hurt. Our back, we were getting major back problems and ruining our bodies for the rest of our lives. We fucking hated each other because we were just in each other's pocket. Like, by the second week, we didn't say a word to each other. We were, like, silent. We turned up, we bowled, we got our printouts at the end of the day to analyse our performances. And then after 4 weeks, we were amazing at bowling. Like, so good at bowling. Me in particular, I was badass. And the thing is, I'm really glad I did it. And as soon as it was over, I was like, that was the best thing we've ever done. And we all agree now it's one of the best things we've ever done. And we look back on it with only fondness. But at the time, it was miserable. And like the fun came from the stupidity of it. The fun came from the outrageousness of it. The fun came from the misery. The fun came from how stupid it was and how hard it was and ultimately how utterly pointless it was. And that's literally the fun. It's like people who walk the entire Appalachian Trail in one go. They run, and this is another thing I wanted to do. And this is clearly something that is my personality, right? I want to walk the Appalachian Trail. It's one of my all-time life goals. And people are like, well, you know, it'll only take you a couple of summers. You turn up, you do this leg, and then you turn up and do that. Like, I'm like, back up, motherfucker. I don't want to walk the Appalachian Trail in bits like some pussy. No, I want to walk the Appalachian Trail in one go. Because, and they're like, that's stupid. It takes 6 months. And I'm like, yes, I know. And that's literally why I want to do it. Because, yeah, the Appalachian Trail is quite pretty. Yeah, it'll be a nice thing to do. But the actual reason I want to do it is because I know how stupid it is to try and walk it all in one go. And I know that, like, for me, the idea of, like, setting out on the Appalachian Trail and knowing that I won't finish for 6 months and how stupid and pointless that is. Why would you do that? That's the appeal. And that's the exact same feeling I get when I start a layer of twisting corridors. That same feeling I got when I suddenly realized that bowling every day for 12 hours isn't fun. Like for 4 weeks. That same feeling that I get when I think about how I'd like to walk the Appalachian Trail and how I know I'd be totally over it in like a week. I'd be like, wow, walking the Appalachian Trail is rubbish now. It's been a week. I hate this. It was fun at first, but now I hate it. And I've got like literally 5 months and 3 weeks left. And that's the joy. For me, the stupid grind, which I've always enjoyed in real life, is one of the reasons I like WoW. And the twisting corridors is that thing. It pushes, for me, that button that says, hey, Tally, do you want to run the twisting corridors? And I'm like, I don't know, dude. What's the twisting corridors? And they go, oh, it's this thing where you've got, you know Torghast? And I'm like, yeah, I know Torghast. That thing that I said I quite enjoy, but I wish it was shorter. And I've got to do it every week for the rewards, right? But I wish it was shorter, but whatever, I'll do it. And they're like, awesome. Okay, so imagine the twisting corridor, imagine Torghast, but imagine it longer and with no rewards. I'm like, sounds like you've just made it have everything that I hate and nothing that I like about Torghast. What? Tell me more. Tell me more. Well, it's literally three times as long. Interesting. And there's eight different versions of it. And you've got to do it all in one go. And why would I do that? You get a title. That sounds horrible. That sounds miserable. Where do I sign? Load me up. And like the idea of rolling up my sleeves, sitting down and being like, okay, let's do this miserable thing, which is going to be like ostensibly fun because it's pressing buttons in WoW, right? Pressing buttons in WoW is always fun. Like blasting some fools in WoW is always fun. And
as long as they're your buttons and not vehicle buttons,
tell me about it. Okay. Yeah, seriously.
And that is what they figured out.
Oh my God. Imagine they did a vehicle version of the Twisting Corridors where you have to do it all in like one of the Ulduar kind of like siege vehicles.
This is the closest we've ever come on this show to actually figuring out how they kill World of Warcraft. That's how they actually kill this game. And dude, you have just through the longest bowling story ever. Actually, like you should have been there for four weeks, mate.
Perfectly. You think it's bad me talking about it for 5 minutes? Should have been there for 4 weeks. We hated each other.
Encapsulated.
I hated my life. I hated Mega Bowl Swansea. I can never eat another chicken burger as long as I live.
That is exactly like what I was describing when I say that down the months from now, when they've made Twisting Corridors a slightly more manageable experience, that's the fondness I'm going to look back on this time with, is exactly what you just described. Yeah. And it's not the first time that this has happened in our lives. We both had real life grinds that I think we look back on and go, oh, that was at the time I wanted to die. But looking back on it, It was such a memorable experience. But we've also, I'm sure, had these experiences in World of Warcraft before. I'm sure you have had borderline masochistic experiences that you have willingly opted into, that were not something that was technically required. Like, this is not technically a new concept. That's why I wanted to start the show by talking about like the fact that the mount is there. And I know you can get it from the hunt, but, well, to be frank, I don't actually know what you need to do to get it from the hunt, or
me
if it
neither.
Even works.
I have no idea, because it's that unmandatory that I don't care. Someone said, oh, there's a Moor mount that you can get. And I was like, how do you do that? Okay, it's this quest line called the hunt. And I was like, stop talking. I don't care. I'll just run. It's fine. It's fine. I don't care. Whereas you tell me it's the end of Twisting Corridors, I'm like, that sounds miserable. I'm in.
I mean, I do want to fire shots at you and go, the last time I checked, you were still pretty behind in the mod, so it kind of seems like you just don't interface with it all that much. So if you don't care because you don't care about the mod, You know, I don't. I'm,
yeah, but okay. But when I think of the Twisting Corridor, suddenly I care because I'm like, yeah, that mount would be amazing for all my orcs and stuff, and I don't have to do the moor to get it. I think maybe there's the thing that makes the moor mount is like in the moor, so I have to do the moor. I don't really like doing the moor, and I'm quite happy not doing the moor most of the time. I go in and get my souls and stuff, and then I'm like, yeah, cool, Venari, she's fine, she can wait. And like, you know, it would actually make Twisting Corridors easier as well. I guess if I got up in reputation with Venari and bought stuff to make Torghast easier. But like, yeah, I guess my interest in the Maw mount is just because it's at the end of the Twisting Corridors. And it's the outrageousness of doing the Twisting Corridors that I think makes the mount more special feeling to me, you know?
Yeah, it's such a double-edged sword. And like, I really can't decide how I think about it. like I don't have a concrete, like, it's good or bad, because it's painful, but that, and this is the conversation I think we're having, that the pain I know I am going to endure getting there is part of the appeal. But at the same time, like, but it also calls in the question of the Maw, which I think is just this weirdly uneven crescendo of convenience. Like, I feel like at this point it should be way easier to get around that damn zone, and it is. It just isn't. And I can't help but look at Druids and Worgen and be like, yeah, fuck you. Like, eat all the dicks.
Like, well, from day one, I don't reward them.
From day one, it's just been a non-issue for those two genre of players. So it's
being a Worgen player is a genre of player. I like that.
I was trying to find a term to collect both one race and one class.
Fair.
So yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's so strange. Like, I feel like as much time as I put into the mod does not equal the reward I've currently gotten out of it, and what I really want is a mount, and it is there's definitely a rub for me personally with the mount being at the end of Twisting Corridors, but at the same time I do want to get there, but like, I think I'm heading towards boring internet commentator land where I want to like micromanage I like that there's rewards, but I don't like what the reward is, and I hate being that person, but that's where my brain is going.
Look, I want the Maw mount, okay? I think the Maw is going to be a going concern for the rest of the expansion, probably, in some form or another. And I would very much like a mount that takes me around there. For the alts as well, you spend a lot of time in the Maw at the very beginning of the questing and things like that. And, you know, the whole second chapter of every Covenant campaign, you have to, you know, run around the Maw a whole ton. So, obviously, it's going to make my game easier. But it's not such a desirable reward that I need to get the Twisting Corridors done now, you know? And one of the interesting things about Twisting Corridors is it's so big and so long, in the same way that it's going to take me 6 months to walk the Appalachian Trail, in the same way it's going to take me 4 weeks to learn how to bowl. Like, I'm happy to just pop in when I can. When I've got a spare 2 hours, I just want to bash some WoW buttons, I'm otherwise up to date in all my mandatory stuff. The prospect of just jumping into the Maw and trying to take on a quick 18 floors of Twisting Corridors is really appealing to me. I love it. Genuinely, it's just there. And it's like a lot of Shadowlands stuff, it is just there. And that's one of the appeals about the best grinds in WoW, I think, is that they're just there. Like, Evertel is a big grinder in WoW, but it's a very specific type of grinder. She loves those grinds that involve kind of finding 100 eggs, you know, and these eggs, they only spawn like once a day or whatever, and so you've got to have a map of where they're going to be, and you run round and you put in that much time and effort to just get these eggs so you can get a mount or whatever. That's the kind of thing that she really likes.
When we were talking about broaching the subject on the podcast, and you were like, well, let's talk about all the grinds we've engaged in, the first place my brain went was grinding Netherdrake eggs in Burning Crusade.
I think that's one of the things that made her fall in love with WoW, was that particular grind. And she's like, this speaks to me. This is like the kind of thing that I want. Because she played the game in the middle of the night when she was in college, instead of doing work, you know, in her dorm when she came back from parties and stuff, and she'd log on and she'd play, and that's what she'd do. And the very unsociable hours that she played made it perfect for grinding stuff like that when hunting like Locke. And things, because there weren't so many other players around. So being a hunter and having rare kind of spawning pets to try and go and tame, doing the nether wing farm, that kind of thing is the thing that made her really kind of latch on to WoW. And I can totally understand that, you know, like that kind of, I'm not progressing in raiding or organized content here. Here is a thing that I can just do for myself. And I want it to be hard. I want it to be a grind. Like, no one starts playing an MMO because they're like, I just want a fun, breezy thing that I can pick up, like, bish, bash, bosh, get through a game in 10 minutes flat. We done here. Now, see you next week. No one even picks up an MMO for those reasons. Like, more and more, we started demanding that kind of thing from our MMOs because, like, gaming tastes are changing and people who play MMOs are getting older and have less time. And you know, I think it's fair to demand like different ways of playing, but no one picks up an MMO in the first place because they hate grinding, right?
Yeah,
no
one's ever gone, like,
God, I really hope there's not much I have to do to progress my character in this game. Like, no one's ever picked up WoW saying that initially, surely.
Yeah, well, the audience skews older because MMOs in general are just, it's an older type of game, yeah, right? And the audience is getting older, their time available is getting shorter. And it's like aging punk rock fans being really stoked that there's seats at the show now. You know, it's
I'm never ever going to a concert that doesn't have seats ever again. Like, fact, I love the seats. I don't care who I'm seeing. Right, last concert we went to before the lockdown started was Sigrid. Okay. Kind of a Norwegian pop starlet, but she's brilliant. Like, she's brilliant. And I was like, we were the oldest people at this gig by about 20 years. And it's like, we're sitting down. No two ways about it. We are sitting down for this gig. I'm going to do it for every gig from now on. Every single one.
We went to Taking Back Sunday's 20th anniversary show, and there were no seats. I was exhausted by the end of this concert. I was so tired. But yeah, that's kind of what we're dealing with. I think most of us are, I know way younger people that play this, but I do think they're the exception. Like, most of the people I know that play World of Warcraft, they are exact same age as me. We're all getting older. We have jobs. Some of us have kids. Like, the time is just going out the window. But at the same time, there's still value in these grinds, and I think that's what we're getting at. And it's hilarious because I'm so glad you brought up eggs, which makes me, the first place my brain goes is Nether Drakes. Because it wasn't required. We were all so excited about flying in Burning Crusade, right? We were so stoked we can fly. Oh my God, it's amazing. But the only barrier to flying was money. You just needed gold, which at the time, it seems like a low amount now, but at the time, the amount it cost to fly was a lot. It was a noteworthy barrier. But it didn't. We were all still so stoked about Nether Drakes because at the time, that was the only dragon mount in the game. You wanted to be, who gets into a fantasy game and doesn't want to ride a dragon? And your only option when flying was added was to go grind out Netherdrake rep. And I think my main at the time, which is my OG main, my Night Elf Hunter, I think I'm probably still 20 eggs away from getting my Netherdrake. Like, that's how close I got. And I eventually just got bored and wandered off.
Oh, man.
And never went back to it.
I thought this was going to be a validating story for everything we've been talking about, but you've basically just thrown that out.
Yeah, I just got to the point. Around the time where I was almost done is when I started raiding like 4 days a week. It's when I really started getting into raiding. I was like, I don't give a shit about getting this dragon anymore. I just want to raid. Like, so my interest shifted more than I got burnout with it. But I mean, obviously burnout was a point, but yeah, that's another good example because it was a thing I wanted, but I didn't need. And I think that that was a feeling very much shared by the majority of the World of Warcraft player base, you know, at that point in WoW's history. The one that was absolutely dumb and I absolutely engaged in just because of how stupid it was in vanilla. And this is part of the reason I didn't level up quickly. One of the first, what I would have considered like a WoW secret that I learned about was that whelplings dropped in the wetlands. That it was an extremely low percentage drop chance that you could get a whelpling pet. And at the time, I think they sold for something in the neighborhood of 50 to 70 gold, which was a ton.
Nice.
An absolute ton in vanilla World of Warcraft. So What is level appropriate for the wetlands? Like mid-20s and 30s?
Yeah, I think so. Early 20s, maybe?
Yeah.
I can't remember, it's so long ago.
I just stayed there for like a month grinding whelps. And I was doing it with Katie at the time, my wife, my real life wife. We would call each other up on a landline phone and we would just we would chat all night and grind.
Didn't that throw
whelps.
Your internet off?
This was the very late in my life where we finally had a second phone line at the house. This is right before I moved out for my sophomore year of college. I had a hands-free landline headset. I thought I was boss talking to my girlfriend, and we just grinded freaking whelps for weeks. It was ridiculous. And we both eventually got it, and we both got it, I think, within the same week.
That's awesome.
Is it the red whelp? I don't remember which color whelpling. I want to say it took upwards of like 3 weeks to get this damn thing.
Wow.
My memory is pretty foggy, but
it was insane.
It was a long time. But like Katie and I still like talk about that.
Yeah.
And that was
fondly, I bet, right?
Yeah. I mean, God, that would have been 15 years ago.
Do you know what? I think this is almost a dying art in WoW a little bit, because, you know, those kind of grinds still exist in a way. The most obvious recent one I can think of is like the bee mount in BFA, which involved a lot of farming of like honey, you know, and you had a few different ways you could do it. And, you know, you could really bop it if you wanted to. There's an option of like doing a daily for it, which was probably the most efficient time wise. And you could buy the things on the auction house as well if you wanted. Like, people would be selling them. There's all the stuff in Najatar as well when it came to like pets and mounts and things. A few grinds you could do there too. I already keep track of those because it's not the kind of thing I like to grind. That's why I used Evertel as an example, is because it's just not my sort of thing at all. She got her B mount.
I think for me, absolutely
up her street.
I think for me, it was something I was very excited and willing to engage with in my early years of World of Warcraft, when it was basically my only game.
Yeah. And I think that's the story of a lot of people's early World of Warcraft experience, is that, you know, the idea of end game is so kind of out of reach. And, you know, you look at your level and you're like, well, I know it takes ages to level, right? And I know I'm probably doing it slower than a lot of people. And God, I wouldn't even know what to do when I got to max level, right? Because there's this raiding stuff and this dungeon stuff, but I don't have any friends online or anything. So, like, in many ways, a big grind like the whelpling kind of thing in the wetlands, or, you know, that's almost like something you can do instead of getting to max level as an early player in the early game. It's like this is me bypassing the leveling experience in a way, and it's something I can do to kind of get ahead and get a step ahead on that process. I was exactly the same. I remember when I first started playing around again, level 20 and stuff, level 21, 22 or whatever, that's where it first starts to hit you. It's like leveling takes a long time. And, you know, I'm doing a lot of grinding and a lot of killing. And wouldn't it be amazing? Why don't I just go out and become like the best fisherman in the entire game? And that's what I can do in the game instead of leveling, because this is tough, man. This is hard. I can just go out and I can find out where all the best fish are, and I can grind that stuff. I don't mind. I'll sit there and I'll grind it and I'll get the best stuff out of the fishing. And I didn't know that wasn't viable in any way. I was like, okay, I'm gonna swim around, and I can get anywhere on the map. It doesn't matter that all the baddie there can kill me, because I can just swim. I can just swim around this entire continent. So what I'll do is I'll swim from like Stormwind or whatever, and I'll swim right around the map until I find somewhere that is way out of my level, and then I'll fish there. And like with all the gold that I make from the fish, that'll help me with the leveling. And I don't mind. I'd rather be grinding this because it feels like cheating rather than actually doing it properly.
Yeah.
You know, there's a definite part of that fundamentally to it.
I think we've accidentally started talking about why I think so many of us stick with or return to WoW over and over and over again. It's because there's just so many different ways to play the game. And it's why I have no patience no patience for folks that like gatekeep people that play World of Warcraft for playing it a different way. Like, oh, if you do X, you're not a real WoW player. I'm like, that's the point of WoW. It's the selling point of WoW, is that you can be an insanely specialized player. Like, are you one of those insane people that wanted to like level up just by picking herbs? You can. The world of Warcraft is your oyster. Go for it. And it's just like for me, I 2 to 3 times a year, I just get on transmog kicks, and nothing makes me happier than just be alone in a raid, running it over and over again, trying to get certain pieces of gear. And everyone has that, but you know, it's part of what I think makes WoW so endlessly playable. But it also, like, in talking about these grinds, is I think where I get into that, as I said earlier, that part of me that I hate to be, which is where I start to micromanage, like, oh, well, I wish the reward was this instead of that. Because you know what else was really similar to the Netherdrake grind was the Cloud Serpent grind in Mists of Pandaria, which I did complete, and I completed it at level. This is not something I came back to after the fact and was like, all right, I started that, I should probably finish it up. And now that I say it, I should probably go finish my Netherdrake. But with the Cloud Serpent, it was this thing where it's like, yeah, I don't need it. I can already fly. And Mists of Pandaria, getting flying was, I think, the way they should go back to, which was, it was easy. Are you max level? Can you pay for it? Cool, you can fly. But I saw this Cloud Serpent and I was like, this is one of the coolest looking mounts I've ever seen in the game. The way they have designed these things, they're like truly gorgeous. I was so enamored with them, and I still believe this. I still think they're some of the coolest looking mounts in the game. And I just threw myself into it, and I didn't stop until I had them. Like, this is probably the grind that I got on board with as soon as I possibly could and stuck with to the end. Like, I just redlined that shit from start to finish. And didn't even look back.
Do we think, and I agree with you, and I totally recognize that as a grind. I absolutely do. And as the appeal, as you might have been able to tell by my bowling story earlier. And it's interesting what you say about how you know, like, WoW is for people to play in different ways, and kind of being down on one of those ways is kind of gatekeeping in a way. And I probably totally agree with that overall. So is complaining about the twisting corridors gatekeeping? You know, is kind of demanding that, and I don't have an answer for you. I'm just asking the question. Ooh, I'm one of those guys.
I mean, if anything, I think we're gatekeeping the developer's enjoyment of listening to our sorry asses talk about their game. I don't know who's being gatekept by that.
I guess, but then I don't know. I'm just saying, because, like, guaranteed there are people that really enjoy Twisting Corridors and would enjoy it less if there were save points through it. You know, I agree. I don't care either way. Like, I do whatever you want. Whatever the community wants, do that. I don't care, honestly. I there's a massive appeal to the misery of the Twisting Corridors to me, because it kind of pushes my misery buttons and it makes me go, oh, yeah, I'd like to experience that misery, please. Yeah, that sounds fantastic. And I wonder if the problem people have with the Twisting Corridors is there is a difference between the Twisting Corridors misery and, say, the Netherwing farm misery, or the Whelpling Wetlands farm misery, or the Cloud Serpent misery. Because, yes, there's a massive amount of RNG involved in farming the Whelpling, right? You know, it's got a low drop rate. It could feasibly never drop.
There was another aspect of that was really important to me at the time, which was like this shared social suffering.
Sure.
Because it was in an open part of the world, and so you were out there with tons of other people, like, you hated them, but also it was relieving and kind of uplifting to see other people not getting to the egg in time.
That's what I got when I was farming these Tusks of Manoroth. You know, the shoulders that drop from Garrosh? Because that's one of the big grind, like, comparable grinds I've done.
I don't know, because I'm fairly convinced they don't actually exist, and anyone I see wearing them have hacked the game and just haven't been caught by Blizzard
yet. One of the important parts of farming the Tusks of Manoroth is you have to have basically just unlimited amount of rerolls, or like loot rerolls that you can do, because, you know, obviously you can only actually properly loot Garrosh once a week, which is nowhere near enough to be ever getting the Tusk of Manoroth. To actually farm the Tusk of Manoroth, you have to be running Garrosh multiple times a day, And the only way you can do that and make it worthwhile, obviously, is by having loot reroll tokens. And it's not like in Legion or whatever, where you're limited to six at a time. You can have unlimited of these reroll tokens. All you've got to do is farm them. And the best way of farming the currency to buy these reroll tokens is to go to the Timeless Isle and to kill frogs. And there's one particular part of the Timeless Isle where you can go to kill these frogs. And the only reason you would ever be there killing these frogs now, because back in the day, there were loads of reasons to be doing that. But now, the only reason you would ever go there to kill these frogs is to farm reroll tokens so that you can run Siege of Orgrimmar multiple times. And the idea is that you have like another character that has the lockout, and then you kind of go onto a different character, and you can, as long as you drop the group just before Garrosh is actually killed, you have, I think it's 60 seconds, don't you, or 30 seconds after you drop the group to kill Garrosh, loot Garrosh, and then you get teleported outside again. And because your other character that actually has the lockout didn't kill Garrosh and didn't get a hit on Garrosh, they still have the lockout. So then you join the group again, then you go back in, and like you can kill Garrosh like 50 times a day if you want, as long as you've got the rerolls for it. And then you just use your reroll token every time and hope that Tusk of Manoroth drops. And so there is that thing where it is still possible, you can still do it, but you have to have like the lockout on a character which is on literally a different account, so you have it open in a different window and stuff like that. It's perfectly legal, you can absolutely do it, but the only reason you'd be in there on this part of the Timeless Isle farming it is because it's Tusks of Manoroth. So if you're there and there's someone else farming these frogs, it's because you're both going for Tusks of Manoroth. So yeah, there is that shared kind of and you're not even doing the bit that can actually get you the shoulders. You're doing the bit to get the reroll tokens so you can go and do the farm, you know? So there's this extra step removed at this stage, and it's just miserable and it's horrible, and there's nothing fun about it at all, apart from the fact that you're doing something really hard and essentially thankless. And eventually, maybe, you'll get the Tusks of Manoroth. I've got over 1,000 kills on Garrosh, and I haven't got them. And people that I've met whilst doing that frog farm have literally stayed in contact with me and let me know when they've got the tusks.
Oh, that's fantastic.
You know, and I think that's great. So I totally understand like the weird social aspect of it. Kind of like what we would call in this country the Blitz spirit. Like obviously during the Second World War, London and other towns got hit really, really hard in German bombing raids, right? And so you're at the stage in the Blitz in London where I think it was something like 140 nights, I think, in a row where London got bombed. So every single night, people were having to go to air raid shelters and go down into the tube. And hopefully they would survive the night. And if they did, there's no guarantee that their homes and places of business would survive the night. My grandparents, when they lived in London during the Second World War, they... three times throughout the Second World War, they left the house, and when they came back to the house, either in the morning or back from work, their house had gone. It had been blown up by a bomb. Like three times that happened to them. And it was like just normal. But what it did was it created this shared kind of horror and painful experience, which old people now miss. You know, they go, life was so much better during the Blitz. And you're like, what? How was life better when, like, the town was getting bombed and people were dying every day and there was no food and your house got blown up three times? It's like, everyone was just really friendly and helped each other out. And it does create that kind of, like, it's what we call the Blitz spirit, that idea of kind of...
You took that in such an extremely serious direction, because I was going to be like, oh, it's like there's this $30 part on Katie's car that is known to fail, but it's in the transmission, and it's about $1,000 to drop the transmission to replace this $30 part. And so we have made friends in online communities for this car to figure out how to do it ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is so, nowhere near as dark.
That might
be
a better one to use.
Terrible.
Yeah. In hindsight. But no, like people from this country know, like it's a pretty regular kind of conversational touch point. No, like cultural reference. You know, you talk about when you're all in it together and, you know, it's like, oh, no, we have to walk in the rain to get somewhere. It's like, all we need is a bit of Blitz spirit and you know, we'll get there. It's a unity through shared suffering, right?
Yes,
and
making friends in line for Warped Tour in 90 degree Florida heat. in the sun while you wait an hour to get into the damn festival.
Absolutely. I spent I spent the majority of my 16th birthday queuing up outside the Swansea City Stadium to try and get FA Cup tickets for Swansea versus Derby in the FA Cup. And yeah, most of my 16th birthday was spent there in the miserable cold, because my birthday's in January, in the miserable cold and rain, and I had a bad back. And it was my 16th birthday, and I was playing a gig with my band that night. So as soon as I got my tickets, I ran to the gig that I was late for. I went, stopped at the drugstore on the way. I bought a whole load of painkillers. I necked every single one of them. And then, obviously, it's my 16th birthday, so everyone bought me loads of drinks, and I almost
this
died.
Is how, this is how you and I got to know each other. I unintentionally cut the line at BlizzCon talking to you. before BlizzCon 2018.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
we were waiting outside for like an hour, and we had a nice big, we had a big conversation where I think we were all wrong about the price of WoW Classic.
I wasn't actually. No, I was correct. I remember, because I always remember when I'm correct. If I wasn't right, I wouldn't remember this conversation. Yeah, I used to be in a ska punk band. When I was younger, who were quite big in Swansea, has to be said. We supported all the greats. We supported Bad Manners. We supported Less Than Jake. We supported, Suck It. We were basically the only other ska punk band in Wales. So
I love that Less Than Jake has like made it over to Europe, because they are Florida royalty.
It has been pointed out in chat that you did just compare the Warped Tour to the Blitz of London in the Second World War.
I would like to point out that I teed it up first by making a joke about how you took it to a really serious and dark corner.
Well, I was going to
take it to a much lighter place.
If there is a Warped Tour that you can compare to the actual bombing of the City of London throughout the Second World War, maybe the year Alien Ant Farm headlined.
I was going to go with, we might go with the Woodstock that Limp Bizkit played.
But anyway, so yeah, there's definite Blitz spirit when you're farming those frogs. That's what I'm saying. And it sounds like you had the same kind of experience when you were trying to farm the Whelpling in the wetlands. That's what I'm saying. But here's the thing. And here's where I think maybe there is an important difference. Those grinds are kind of what I would call classic MMO grinds. And one of the things I've always said about an MMO, one of the things I think appeals about an MMO, and something I stand by, is it kind of gives you, and this is going to take some explaining, so bear with me, it kind of gives you what you are promised in life, but that you don't get. Okay, so in Western society, and particularly in America, you live in this situation where you are told that you can get and achieve anything that you want. All you've got to do is work hard. If you put the time in, and if you put the effort in, you can get anything you want. Now, obviously, that's not true. For many, many reasons. But, you know, fact of the matter is the truest indicator for how rich and successful you'll be when you die is how rich and successful you are when you're born. It's as simple as that. Like, unfortunately, like, social mobility does exist, but it's a very rare exception. And most of the time, like, the number one kind of indicator for how rich you'll be when you die is how rich you are the moment you're born. So it doesn't actually exist in real life where you will get everything you want if you just work hard enough. You can improve your chances, but people who are more privileged than you are going to have more chances than you. It's as simple as that. In MMOs, it really is the case that if you work hard enough, you will get the thing that you want. Like, that is the appeal. If you work hard enough and you put in enough time, and time is the important thing, because when the difficulty comes from time investment, and that's the thing that we talk about all the time when we compare like modern WoW to vanilla, like people say that modern WoW requires more skill than vanilla WoW, and that's definitely true. Like, there's nothing that requires as much skill as, say, Mythic Denathrius in vanilla. There's nothing that requires as much skill as a high level Mythic Plus in vanilla. But that's not to say that vanilla is easier. Like, vanilla is just as hard, but the difficulty comes not from skill, but from time investment. And so when that is the case, when you take skill out of the equation and the difficulty comes from time, that gives you a situation where genuinely you can get everything you want in the game. It just takes time and it just takes effort. And if you can put that time and effort in, you can get it. And that genuinely is one of the appeals of MMOs. And I think specifically because that's how we're told life is supposed to work, but it doesn't. So like in an MMO, it's what life is meant to be. Like, it's what we've been told life is, right? If you put the time and the commitment in, you can get everything you want. You can get all the best stuff
in
this game.
Are you saying that MMOs are the ideal version of the gig economy?
No.
Okay.
That's the direction I don't want to take the conversation in. And so...
you kind of put... I mean, you brought us here.
But the problem with... the problem with the Twisting Corridors is, and then don't forget how angry people were about the Mage Tower when it first released. People were really excited about the Mage Tower, and they were like, "Oh wow, it's a challenge designed specifically for my class." And I go in, I prove how awesome I am at this game, and I get a recolor of my I get a new artifact appearance. I cannot wait. And when 7.2 went live, you had to decide which of the three kind of temporary structures you were going to put up by like donating things to Illidan and to Khadgar and stuff. It wasn't up all the time. And obviously the first one that got built was the Mage Tower, because it's one everyone wanted to do. And people went in there and it was really hard and they couldn't do it. And there was fury. There was so much anger about that, that it was hard. And that it was like, well, I can't possibly do this at this item level. This isn't fair. And the problem with Twisting Corridors is that it has that like outrageous grind element to it. It's like, look, if you want to complete this layer, you're going to need 2 hours, okay? And it's 18 floors, which is relentless and miserable. That's not the thing that pisses people off. It's the fact that you can fail. It's the fact that it doesn't just take time. It also takes a bit of skill. And that goes against... the glorious golden era grinds that we were talking about of the Whelpling, of the Netherwing eggs and things like that. That is just like time and commitment. And maybe you'll do it, maybe you won't. But all it asks of you is time and commitment. Whereas the Twisting Corridors asks time and commitment, but also you're going to need some skill at higher levels. And that's not a fair trade-off for a lot of people. It's like, if I'm going to put in that much time, I don't want to fail and it for it to be my fault. Like, I'm okay putting in that much time farming a Whelpling and it doesn't drop, whatever. But if I fail and it's my fault, fuck that. You know? And that's not what people want. And I think maybe, I don't know, I feel like that's one of the sticking points people have with the Twisting Corridors.
So much of it, and my own, so much of it, I think, in the community has focused on the time. Right. Like, again, getting up to that final boss after potentially 2 hours and failing is that's all that you were sailing and now you are in a vacuum. Like, we've moved beyond just the sail, the winds being taken from your sails. Like, it's complete and utter the bottom falling out. And that's kind of where my brain is, too. But I don't like we've gone to some interesting places today because I think we really found the challenge of that balancing act, right? Like, you talking about, well, if you could pause and leave, there's a lot of other considerations there, you know, without getting into the technical aspects of how easy or difficult, like, because you could say, well, you have to keep your gear or whatever. Like, that's really complicated. Like, how is that easy for them to code in? Probably not, or they probably would have done it. But you know, we're not sure, but it is a consideration. But there is a balancing act, right? And you bring up the Mage Tower. I couldn't stand it at the time. I also wasn't like regularly making WoW content, so I went in, I got my ass handed to me. I never went back, Taliesin.
No way, really?
I tried it once, and I was like, this fucking sucks.
What?
And I never went back to it.
I'm amazed. Not really. It's what I expected of you, to be honest. Whereas I feel completely opposite. Like, as well, you know, I fell in love with Mage Tower. I adored it, and I was rubbish at it. because I didn't play any other class but priest at the time regularly. You know, I had alts and things, and I actually had every class in the game up to max level at that point because I wanted to see the covenant campaigns, the order hall campaigns, and get the class mounts and things like that. So I, like, just because of that, I had all these classes, but I couldn't play them. I was rubbish at them. And, you know, Mage Tower, even if you were overgearing that stuff, you still had to know how to play the class, right? For me, it would take me on average about 80 attempts to get a Mage Tower down on a specific class. And I got them down on, like, I think like 30 in the end, something like that. I've got so many Mage Tower appearances. And for me, despite the fact that I was rubbish at it, and despite the fact I knew when I started a new one, that not only did I have to farm all those nether shards, oh my God, but I had to, you know, then hit my head up against that wall for like 80 attempts, over 100 on some of them. And I loved every moment of it. Like, I loved that constant failure. And now you can make the argument that obviously that doesn't compare to Twisting Corridors, because as people have pointed out, there is also a heavy element of luck involved with the Twisting Corridors. You know, like some classes, you're going to need certain anima abilities if you're going to do it. But for me, that's just another element of skill and the commitment that it takes to doing it, because you can mitigate that. Okay, you mitigate the randomness the same way a poker player mitigates randomness, or like a top level player mitigates randomness in other games. What you do, like, I know that if I'm going to go in as Discipline Priest, I can complete solo Twisting Corridors on Discipline Priest, but I'm going to need the Fade Decoy talent. I'm going to need that anima power. It's where you, if you fade, you leave a version of yourself up and it tanks the baddies and then it explodes. And if you stack it enough with your... And if you get that anima power, it, like, triggers a higher chance to get other anima powers connected to Fade, right? So then you can reduce the cooldown of Fade so that you'll always have it up whenever your decoy explodes. So you basically never have to tank any melee. And
so how are you mitigating this? Are you leaving the run if you don't get it on the first floor?
It's miserable, but Twisting Corridors is miserable. Okay, so like, and if the miserableness is the fun for you, then this is perfectly reasonable. I go in. If I was going to do it, I don't, because I do it in a group. If I wanted to do it solo, what I would do is, on higher levels, I would go in, I would clear the first floor, and if I didn't have that anima power, I would leave and start again. Because I'm not going to complete the Twisting Corridors if I don't have it, right? And I know that, so why would I carry on? Like, if I get to the last boss and I don't have that ability, kind of, and other fade abilities to kind of stack with it, I'm not killing the boss, right? So why would I carry on? Why would I play for 2 hours and then complain that I played for 2 hours and got killed by the last boss? Like, I know that I need that ability, so clear the first floor, leave if you don't get it. You're playing the game that way. You're doing it kind of as intended. And, like, you're mitigating the risk, and you're mitigating, like, and increasing your chances for doing the thing you need to do. And it's miserable, and it's not fun. That's kind of why I like it.
Yeah, well, that's, again, it's all the balancing act, right? And but, like, also you get into class imbalance, and, like, does every class have a single linchpin power like that?
Absolutely, but I think most players have an ability that they have an affinity to that they think makes it much easier for them. And
yeah, like, I forget what the one for... I have primarily soloed Torghast. And I kind of like it. It's weird and somewhat masochistic, but it's kind of become a thing. Like, I have this weird pride with soloing Torghast. And on my prop warrior, it's I forget what it's called, but it's like after charging or heroic leaping, your damage is increased by 200%. Like, it feels like I need that. I need that to get through the higher layer. Although I got to say, like, it kind of, in Twisting Corridors, it kind of feels like I need a lot of what I would consider S tier anima powers. I need that. I need procking shield wall off of Ignore Pain. Like, so I'm, and I don't know if that's correct. I mean, maybe there are people smarter than me that have done the research. If you know exactly what you do, what is there a single linchpin ability for Prop Warrior that I should be targeting? Please let me know. Tweet at me at Garrett Art. But it kind of feels like like I'm looking at that layer eight being like, I think I'm going to need, there's like three required powers I'm going to need to get to make that happen solo. But also, like, this has been the whole conversation today. I'm kind of dreading it. I know it's going to make me angry, but I'm also like, I kind of want to do it. I want to do it. I want to be able to say that I went in there alone on my prop warrior and got through layer eight Twisting Corridors. Like, I just want that accolade.
Yeah. The only reason I brought that up in fantasy is people, it's a common complaint that people are like, well, look, I don't mind that it takes a long time. I don't mind that it's really hard. What I mind is if I don't get the right abilities, then that entire run is wasted. So just don't waste the run if you don't get the abilities straight away. You know, this is how we were doing it on beta. Yeah. This is how we were doing it on alpha. We were going in, and that's when that shit was really hard on alpha. Like, yeah. It would kick your ass. And we were going in, and if we weren't getting, like, bis... like abilities on the first orb right in front of you, we were walking out and starting again. Simple as that, because there was no point. And that was way overtuned. But and you know, it's the same with that. And the thing is, if you do that, and if you do the thing where you leave if you don't get the ability that you're after on the first floor, you know, even if you got that ability on the fifth floor, you're still completing that Twisting Corridors most of the time, like, or on the 10th floor. If you get on the first floor, that ability is so overpowered by the time you get to the later floors, you're blasting through stuff like a god. And that's satisfying as well. But anyway, you know, it doesn't have to appeal to everyone, and that's absolutely fine. Yeah, you know, like all of those grinds you just described that you took great pleasure in and that we've seen people talking about in the chat and stuff as well, don't appeal to me in the slightest. But it's still just awesome that they're there. It's fantastic. And yeah, I'd like a Cloud Serpent. And yeah, I'd like a Whelpling and a Netherwing and the Bee Mount and the, you know, Hippogriff thing from Azuna that I have to go and get the eggs that only one person can click on when they spawn every day and you have to get all of them and no one else is allowed to click on the egg. And so I'd like to get that, but I never will because the grind to it, like the reward appeals to me, but the grind and the circumstances to get it don't in the slightest, and that's absolutely fine. I've got plenty
and
of
yet,
else I can
and yet you got
with.
A long boy you got a long boy, which is its own grind. It's just there's
great
ways
example
to go about
I can't
it.
Believe I didn't think of that, but yeah, okay, so yeah, it shows what a great expansion BFA was. I found myself with quite a few of those grinds in BFA for some reason, and the first one was my hippo mount, which I just was like, I want that hippo mount. That's the mount I want. And I have to do PvP to do it. And I've never really done rated PvP at all. And so me and a couple of friends did threes. And after raid every night, we'd put in a couple of hours of threes. And it was miserable, really, because it was fun because I was chatting with my friends. But, you know, threes is pretty involved. So it's not like you can just chat shit. You're talking about the game a lot more than you would be if you were kind of like running a dungeon or something. And it was something that I certainly wasn't very good at, and my friends weren't pros at, and I dragged our team down, right? So it took us a long time to grind out that hippo. And towards the end, it wasn't really very fun, but it was totally worth it. And now I feel amazing, and I'm so glad. Like, it's probably the thing I'm most proud of in the entire game. And likewise, the long boy, which, again, I'd never done any gold making before in my entire life. And that, man, is a fucking grind. Like, it's like one of those big pepper grinders that they have at stupid Italian restaurants, you know? It's like one of those. Come on, pepper on your carbonara. I'm like, yeah, but why do you need that thing? Just like, it's fine, just give me a normal one. It's like, well, that must hurt your arms, don't do that.
When you said that was a grind and then you brought up that, I'm like, how much pepper do you put on your
carbonara?
It's
like, how much
my
pepper
God.
Do you think I want? I just want a bit. It's fine. No, actually, take it away. I don't want to risk it. That looks like it's going to put too much pepper on my plate. But and like all the different things you've got to do to make the gold, you know, all the farming and the auction housing and all the rest of it, all the begging and dancing on mailboxes. Like it's a massive, massive grind. And yeah, not fun in the slightest, but was fun because of that, you know.
Well, I would like to end on a single request, which is, I think after all this conversation, I would like to undercut all of it by saying, can I just log out mid-run, please?
Well, I would also like to join you in finishing this conversation, but I just want to clarify something before we do, in that I have expressed like a fondness for how stupid and terrible Twisting Corridors is. But I just want to make it clear, because it's very easy to lose sight of this in conversations like this. If you completely disagree with me on every point I've made about why I like Twisting Corridors, you're not wrong. You know, like every criticism you have of why you don't like Twisting Corridors is absolutely right and correct. And it doesn't need to be like a it doesn't even need to be a good reason. You're allowed to dislike any part of this game for any reason you like. You don't need a reason. You don't need an excuse. You don't need a proper argument as to why you don't like something in this game. It's fine, honestly. Literally, if you don't like the color of the UI, that's absolutely fine. That's a valid reason for not liking something. So you're not wrong if you hate Twisting Corridors and if you disagree with all the things I've said are good about Twisting Corridors. We just feel differently. That's all. You're not wrong. I'm not right.
Yeah, I think you and I both kind of operate our content creation under that umbrella, right? Like, we are putting forward like our feelings. We do our best. I feel like you and I both try and consider the field of opinions and takes and relay that in our conversation. But, you know, a vast majority of that, especially here in the longer form, when we're doing 90 minute to 2 hour podcasts, we're going to dig into our personal thoughts. But that's just what they are. They're our personal thoughts. So,
yeah,
come up with your own. Don't be a sheep, but keep listening to our personal thoughts.
What a classic episode.
Well, I think we come around to, like, overall we like it, but we have our own little things that irk us about it in ways we think it could be somewhat improved.
Yeah, and I am fully aware that my kind, I'm not normal, okay? And, like, you shouldn't go and do unlimited bowling every single day for 12 hours for 4 weeks. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't try and walk the Appalachian Trail in one go. Like, you don't do it. I'm not normal. And I appreciate that, like, my glee and my pleasure in these miserable things is kind of indulgent in a way. And I'm privileged enough to be able to take indulgence from those things. So, like, yeah, it's fine. Like, I'm not saying everyone should feel the same. And I appreciate I'm not normal. And, you know, if everyone else finds it terribly unfun and wants to change it, yeah, cool, whatever, I don't care. Dude, I wouldn't do this podcast if I didn't take, like, insane pleasure in indulging in misery. Do you know what I mean? And let's be honest, you at home wouldn't be listening to it. So,
and if you at home are not indulging in the misery of this podcast and would like to tell us so, or maybe you are and would like to tell us so, write in wowkillercast@gmail.com. That's where you can go and drop us a line, be part of the show. And I think it's going to bring us to the end of this episode. So send those emails. Again, it's wowkillercast@gmail.com. If you want to get more of the show, you want to watch us on video form, if you're listening to this on audio, youtube.com/wowkiller. You can see our lovely faces. If you want to join us live, we record it live Wednesday mornings over at twitch.tv/Taliesin and Evatel. There's the and on your Twitch, yes?
No, just Taliesin Evatel on Twitch, there's an and, yes.
I know on your Twitter, Twitch better than you do. And. Yeah, I was talking about Twitch, though.
Yeah, I know.
Telling people where they can join us live and yell at us in real time. Your chat room it's lovely people. Even when they disagree with us, they disagree
aren't
with us
they
in, like,
nice?
The most
you can see why I wanted to move
ways.
It to my channel. Yeah. That's fantastic. We've worked very hard.
Hey. You shut your filthy mouth.
No, we've got a really awesome, even when my chat, like, it has been known, Garrett, you're not going to believe this, but it has been known that sometimes we talk about politics and stuff on our stream. And whenever we do, we've worked very hard to curate our community. And whenever it happens, they're just awesome and mature and wonderful. And it's only ever me letting this side down. Don't worry.
I lost like 6 followers last week after talking about some things that befell my country. And to that I say, good riddance.
To the followers and the leaders of the country, I guess. Yeah.
To that I say, good riddance.
Wow, what a week it's been. Wow, yeah.
What a year. Last week was.
Oh, wow. People listening to this podcast won't understand, but literally just as we said that, someone resubbed to my Twitch for a year. What a year it's been.
Nice. Italias, and if folks would like to unfollow you on Twitter and social media for your political opinions, where can they do so?
I thought you said if people would like to unfollow you on Twitter. What is your Twitter again?
Exactly. This is
my
what
Twitter
I said.
Is Taliesin Evatel. You know, whatever. Just fine. We're easy. Just Google it, honestly. You know my name. You know Evatel's name. Just Google it. It's easy. Find
it.
Everything.
Do it.
You can find our Twitter, you may our not Twitch, know this. Our YouTube, our OnlyFans. Just go do it. It's fine.
You may not know this, folks. Like, I don't consume a lot of other content in the Blizzard sphere because I'm too busy making my own. I do still tune in to the Weekly Reset every week when it's a week that the Weekly Reset actually gets posted. I am a legitimate fan. I like the content. You should be watching it.
Thank you, Garrett. I also listen to every single piece of content you put out. And where can I find all those things? I mean, I know.
It's a bold-faced lie.
It's just a feed so you can tell people.
Amove.tv. This podcast is there, but also my Hearthstone podcast, The Angry Chicken, my Heroes of the Storm podcast. Yes, that show about the dead game that gets more updates than most of Blizzard's not dead games can be found at amove.tv. That show is called Into the Nexus. Just go to amove.tv. It's all there. You can find all of it right there. I'm everywhere podcasts can be found, as is this show. And if you want to support the show, that's how you can do so. Just subscribe to it. Subscribe. Download the episode every week. Help our metrics. It literally helps everything about the show. It helps us find new listeners, and it gives us more downloads. And I may be working on sponsor packets right now.
Yes!
So, please and thank you. Download the show. Tell your friends. That's it. That's all we ask of you. And,
I ask quite a lot more. I'd like some adoration. I'd like some credit for the work I'm doing here. Just tell me I've got a nice beard. That's all I ask.
I would like you to not be too angry that you went from talking about the Blitz and I went to Warped Tour. I would
To
just give me a little leeway there.
Okay.
Oh, not you. I'm talking about listeners.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Swansea also had a very bad Blitz as well. This sounds like a post-show topic.
Yes. So let's get there by bringing this home. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. It's going to bring us to the end of this episode of WoW Killer. Until next time, good luck, have fun, and good luck on your Layer 8.